It's so good to be here today. I'm really excited about what I got to preach about today. It's one of the things that I like to preach about a lot, if not the only thing I like to preach on, but that's going to be on the Great Commission. And I appreciate Dwayne giving me the chance to do this. But also, it's interesting to me that when I was talking to Dwayne about it, he enlightened me about something. Because I was telling him, talking to him in his office, I asked him, you know, how do you do it? I mean, every Sunday, I mean, you got to prepare 2-3 lessons, if not even more, when you have to talk to people, you know, Bible studies and all that. And he's like, well, you know, there are two things that you got to do. One of those is, you know, people, you know, you can say something. You can preach about something, and you have something to preach on. But he says, but the most important one is when you have something to say. That's the lesson that will help you, and that's the lesson that will help the people that are hearing you. So today, I have something to say, and that's why I'm going to preach about the Great Commission, because I do have something to say. But I'm proud to be here. I appreciate all of you, the early morning family of the River Chase family. This is really strange for me, getting up so early on Sunday morning. It really is. It really is. But let's go on with the lesson, the Great Commission. And Daryl read for us Matthew 28, and that's one of the important verses for me in the whole Bible. It's one of those that makes a difference for me in the Bible, especially when you read about the words of Jesus, and this is the last thing that he said to his disciples just before he went into heaven. This is the last thing that Jesus said just before he said, okay, now guys, you take it from here. And that is that he was talking about the Great Commission. And that is so important for the church in the first century, and it should be very important for us as well. Now, Matthew 28 tells us that. But however, we're going to do something first. First, we're going to look at what really evangelism is. Let me see. I think I'm doing this wrong again. All right. do I push the green one? There it is. I'm so sorry. It takes a while for me to get used to these things. So evangelism, what do we mean by that? What is evangelism? What do we really mean by evangelism? What we talk about people and people say, well, let's go evangelize. Let's go convert people. Is that what it really means? Is evangelism just going and knocking on doors? Is evangelism just having the small groups? Is evangelism hanging out with the fellowship and with the family? What really is evangelism, man? What do we mean by that? Which is really important. It's actually a Greek word, I guess you could say, the one that we use constantly, and there it is. The English word evangelism comes from the Greek, evangelion. You know, I probably mispronounced that, but that's okay. We don't know any better, right? And it just usually means, you know, it's good news or the gospel. And that's a synonym that we like to use with the gospel. It's the good news, right? But something interesting, when I was looking a little bit deeper into that, I found out something about the Hebrew word of it. And that's where I want to emphasize a little bit on that today, which is the Hebrew word of evangelism. And that's the word basar, which means good news. But it's the active telling of those good news. It's not only to say, hey, I have some good news, but it's actually the active telling of those good news. Something that happened to me when I was younger. I love my dad, and every time he would get home from work, the one thing that I would do is take off his shoes. Any of y'all did that? My dad would love for me to just come and take off his shoes, you know, and I love doing that. And sometimes he will say, you know, hey, I'm hungry, and go tell your mom. And so I'll go tell mom, you know, mom, hey, daddy's hungry. And she'll say, oh, the food will be ready shortly, or the food is ready, that kind of thing, right? Well, I love telling the good news, but sometimes they were not so good, especially when the food wasn't ready. How do you tell your dad, mom said the food is not ready? You know, so I'll just go on and play and ignore those news. Because I didn't want to tell my dad that the food wasn't ready. But when the food was ready or it was his favorite food, I would just go on and say, hey, dad, guess what we're having today? Pork and beans. And right. That was his favorite. He loved it. He loved that. And so, you know, I was happy to tell those news. And that is the active telling of those good news. That's what the gospel means. That's what evangelism means. It's the active telling of the good news. Now, then again, there may not be some good news about some things, but that's the active telling. Now, let's move on. And I want you to open your Bibles, if you don't mind, in the book of 2 Kings and chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6 tells us a story which is very interesting to me the first time I read it, because I had to reread it again to really understand what he was talking about. But that is the story when Elijah was confronted by the Arameans and the Syrians about what was going to happen to them. So the Syrians had laid siege on the city. And then the city closed itself. Nobody could get out. Nobody could get in. Now, you got to remember that this story in chapter 6 is talking mostly about Elijah and how God helped his people during those tough times. But there is this story snuck in between there. And that is in chapter 6:24, talks about the famine, which is interesting. When you read it as well, I want you to pay attention to what happens, because there are a lot of similarities with this story of the lepers, with the same story in Luke 17, with the same lepers that came to see Jesus to be healed. Now, there it is. 2 Kings 7:9, it will tell us this. Okay, this is the story when the lepers came. After the Syrians had laid siege of the city, people were starving. It came to the point where people started eating their young ones. And in fact, that is the point that I want to get into, because there was two women. There were two women who came to the king. They saw the king pass by and they said, hey, we got a problem here. We're starving. And this woman told me, look, let's cook your son today and eat him, and tomorrow we'll eat mine. Now think about it. Think how disturbing that is. Think how, horrendous that is. So this woman said, let's do it. And then it came that the next day, the other woman hid her son. So now they couldn't eat that son. And she was mad, not because they had murdered her son. She was mad because they couldn't eat her son. Isn't that interesting? So anyways, so it comes to this point in 2 Kings chapter 7, when there are lepers in the city, four lepers. And, they cannot get into the city. So they start thinking to themselves, what are we going to do? We're going to starve to death. Nobody's feeding us here. Now the army is waiting over there. So we have one or two choices. We could either starve to death or go to the encampment of the other army and ask them to feed us. And if they kill us, well, we're going to die anyways. So we might as well. So they go to the camp. And guess what happens? The army is gone. The army had fled. They heard a noise. they heard noises of battle. And they thought, the people of Israel have united with another nation, with other two nations, and they're going to kill us. So let's go. Let's run. And they ran, and they left everything in there. So these four lepers, they go and start eating. They go and start enjoying everything. They start grabbing possessions. They start just accumulating things. And then one of them realizes, in 7:9, this is what the Bible says. Then they said to one another, we are not doing right. This day is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait until the morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household. That is awesome news. The people are starving. The people are dying. And these lepers have satisfied themselves to the point that they're like, you know what? This is not right. We are enjoying this food. We are eating. And the people in the city are eating each other. This is not right. Let's go and tell the king. They go and tell the king, and guess what? He doesn't believe it. He's like, it's a trap. But then later on, they send somebody, they send an escort. They find out it is true. The whole people eat again. Israel is whole again. But see, to me, what is interesting is that these lepers, they talked to themselves and they said, this is not right. We have to tell them the good news. That's what the word evangelism, that's what the word bazaar in Hebrew, that's what that means, the active telling of the good news. Yes, I know it's good news that I have something to eat. It is great news that I have something to, somewhere to live. It is great news that God has blessed me. But you know what? It's not right if I just keep it to myself. I need to do something about it. And that's the active telling of those good news. And that's what those lepers were talking about. Because evangelism, brothers and sisters, is a matter of life and death. Evangelism is a matter of eternal life and eternal death. People are suffering. People are struggling. Right now is the best time to evangelize the world. It's the best time to evangelize our country. Because people don't know the difference between right and wrong. They are calling things that are wrong right, and things that are right, they're calling it wrong. And for a long time, this has stopped me, which is not telling the gospel because, you know, you might offend somebody. Well, you know what? I offend somebody just by being Mexican. I offend somebody just by being born. I offend somebody already by the way I eat. I offend somebody by the way I talk. I offend somebody by the way anything that I do is going to offend somebody. So I might as well offend them by telling them the good news. What do you think? So that's how we're going to do it. You know, people are going to get offended. Well, that's fine. But we got to tell it. It's the good news. It's the good news. Now, the best proclaimer of the good news. I mean, you can think about it, right? Our Lord Jesus. He was the proclaimer of good news. He loved telling good news. I know that all of us, deep inside of us, we love telling good news. I think we have gotten too used to the news that we see on TV and on radio, that all that we hear sometimes is maybe 90% of the time is bad news, right? But I think it's time for us to get used to start telling good news. Something good that happened. Something great that happened in your life. Something good that is going on with the church. Things that are going great with it in your life and in your walk with Christ. So, Matthew 11, is a good story. I love that story. It's the story when John was in jail because of, he was preaching. John was in jail because he told, hey, you know what? You're not allowed to have your brother's wife. You know that's not right. So, he offended somebody. And he got put into jail. But what I love is what Jesus does. Because after John sends his disciples, I don't know the whole situation there, if it was a whole sometimes doubting. I don't know if he wanted to be reassured. I really don't know the real motives of John. But what I want to focus on is the answer of Jesus. The proclaimer of good news says, and Jesus answered to them, go and tell John. Let's just stop there for a second. Go and tell John. That is the active form of evangelism. Go and tell. You know, to me, growing up as a child in Mexico, as I told you with my father, I didn't like telling bad news. I really didn't. But telling the good news, it felt good. It made my day. You know, I couldn't wait to just go and say, you know, hey, Dad, we're going to eat. Or, you know, the family is together now. And the same thing happened when I went to Mexico. You know, last time I went to Mexico, the first time I came to the States, it was in 1996. And then in 1997, I went back to Mexico. And then after that, I didn't go back for about 5 years. And so my mom hadn't seen me for 5 years. And my dad hadn't seen me for 5 years. I hadn't seen my siblings in 5 years. And it was really interesting because when I told them, I'm going back to Mexico, my mom was so happy. She said, my hijo loco is coming back. If you need translation, it's my crazy child is coming back. So, you know, she was so excited. She was so happy. And it made my siblings very angry. It made them very mad. It's like, mom's just, you know, why is it such a big deal that David is coming back? And I was just loving it. You know, that they were just angry. But I loved it. I wanted to know that, hey, you know, somebody's looking forward to me to getting back home, right? And, you know, and the whole trip over there, I was looking forward to the days counting when I was on the plane. Then when I got out, I felt like a celebrity. There was no reception. There was nobody there. But I knew that I felt this special because my parents, I knew my mom was looking forward to seeing me. And I was walking with a different air. There was no care in the world because I knew that my parents were looking forward to seeing me. And, you know, and then when I got to the airport, of course, they were there, you know, and with a couple of my sisters, and they can pick me up, hugs and everything. It felt great. I still remember that day back in 2002, 2003, something like that. But you know, it's great. It's great. Go tell John. Something good is about to happen in the world. Something amazing is about to happen in the world. And I want you to tell John that this is what is going to happen. What is going to happen? Tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk again. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Man, that is the good news. Isn't that awesome? God tell John that the world is going to change. Brothers and sisters, this is our message. This is what we're going to preach. This world is going to change. Not because of our preaching, not because of what I say, but because of the Savior that we have, because of the Lord that we have, because of the one who promised is faithful. And he says, go and tell, because this world is going to change. Go tell John. So when John heard those words, he was happy. He was relieved. His work was done. Well, we have good news to tell. And those good news is Jesus is coming back. Jesus will come back. It's good news for us, but it will not be to a lot of people. Those good news may not be good news to everyone, because one, they don't want to hear about Jesus. And number two, they have to give an account of what they've done, on how they lived on this earth. And that may not be a good sign. So go tell John, and this is what's going to happen. The world is going to change. Proclaiming the word of God means preaching. But this is the thing, people don't like to be preached. Nobody likes to be preached, right? Nobody likes to get onto you when you do things that are wrong. But that's the gospel. The gospel is going to offend somebody. The gospel is going to make you want to make a radical change in your life. In the Great Commission, now we move on to the Great Commission, Matthew 28. It's interesting. I want to spend just a couple more minutes on that. On verses 18, let's go ahead and read. And Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. This is why we preach. This is in whose authority we do it. This is why we do it. Who we must obey. In Acts chapter 4, the disciples, Peter and John and James, are encountered with the same question. You guys don't need to be preaching on this name. I told you guys not to preach on this name. And they said, well, we must obey God rather than man. And I believe that that is the key word over there for us to understand. We must obey God. No matter what, no matter where, and no matter what age, we always must obey God. First and foremost. Verse 18 tells us that all authority, Jesus says, I'm telling you, I'm giving you the authorization to go. Verse 19, go therefore to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So, once I go, what do I do? This is what I do. Make disciples. Make followers of Jesus. Teach people how to follow Jesus. It's not to follow a preacher. It's not to follow a certain group of people. It's to follow Jesus. Teach them to follow me. That's what we teach. And that should be easy, because if I tell people to follow me, guess what? Nobody's going to want to do that. But if we follow Jesus, there's a big difference. Now, the next one. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. This is what we teach. And this is where it gets tricky, because it is the Great Commission. It could be great because it's a great task. It could be great because this is hard to do. But you know, teaching them to observe all, that I believe is also a hard thing to do. Because I love to preach good news, but sometimes we gotta preach the whole gospel, which is good news, and sometimes not so good news. We gotta tell them everything. Just like we like telling people good news. You know what? Jesus is coming back. Somebody may not like it. You're telling me I gotta change my life? I gotta stop living the way I'm living? You mean to tell me that I gotta change everything to be here on Sunday morning at 8 a.m. for worship service? Some people are not gonna like that. But it doesn't matter. Because you have the authority to go and teach everything. Teach them everything that Jesus had said. And we're going to teach them the Bible. Because the Bible is not a buffet. The Bible is not just something that we grab and I like this verse and I like the other verse. We got to teach them the whole thing. And it's a lot. And that's why it's the Great Commission. Because I got to teach myself that as well. I got to teach myself how to be a good Christian, how to follow Christ. And sometimes, let me tell you, I may fall short of it. And we will fall short of it. A lot of times, we're not going to do the best job at teaching about Christ. But we got to do it regardless. Let's move on to the next verse. And this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible as well. Ezekiel 37. You know the story of the dry bones, the story of the dead bones. You know what? That story couldn't be any more befitting for us today. Verse 11, verse 12, and verse 13 of Ezekiel 37. This is what the Bible says. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off." Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like God has abandoned you? Have you ever felt like the church is just, it doesn't feel the same way? It's just like the whole world is going down and you're going down with it and there's nothing that you can do. You have no life in your bones. It's like you don't feel motivated for church. You don't feel motivated to preach the gospel. You don't feel motivated to do anything for the Lord. It's just, you're just drying up. Have you ever felt like that? Verse 12. "Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come out up from your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord." I love when the Lord says, "Then you will know that I am the Lord." I love that. Because he's about to show us. He's about to make himself known. And he's just about to get to work. And that either terrifies me or amazes me, but it's one sense of awesomeness that there is no explanation for it. Because when the Lord says, "I'm about to do something," I think we better pay attention. And he's talking about his people. And if I want to put that into context, I want to say he's talking about his church. You want to know how God lives in this church? Watch me work in you. That's what he's saying. Let me work in you. And you will be amazed at what I can do in you. People will know that I am the Lord when they see you. Isn't that something? When they see the people of Israel back on their feet. When they see the people of Israel who were once dead, now they're alive. Who once were dried up, but now they are strong. Watch the Lord work. That's what he's saying. And that's why I love Ezekiel. And that's why I love the Lord. "Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come out up of your graves, my people." Man, just watch the Lord work. You know, we always talk about metamorphosis and we always talk about the butterfly, the changes that it does. But I believe there is also another aspect of that, because there are two beings on this earth that do that, that can go from a complete change in nature, in personality, in everything. One is the butterfly, the other one is the human being. The other one is us. That we can go from being something horrible to something amazing. It is us. That change that needs to happen in our lives. I'm almost done, I promise. People can see the power of God in us by the way we live, by the way we love, by the way we talk, by the way we interact with each other. People will know that there's a God in this church. And trust me, I saw it when I first came here. I did. I loved it. That's why I love being part of River Chase. I'm not just saying this, brothers and sisters. I mean this. I love being part of River Chase. And that's why I was a member here for 2 years before I became a minister. Because I loved it. I didn't want to go anywhere else. There was nowhere else to look for. Is there? Yeah, there are, right? I just didn't want to go anywhere else. I mean, don't tell the elders this, but even if they wouldn't have hired me, I would have stayed. Because I loved it. When you find something great, when you find something good, You want to stay in it. You want to love it. And I believe that people can see that. If we can just get them to see how we interact with each other, I believe people will come and people will stay and people will understand that this is what we do. Now, evangelism is teaching the gospel with the aim to persuade. We need to persuade them. And how do we do that? How do we persuade people to do something they don't want to do? It is so easy. Look, let's move on to the next one. I think I may need to change my thumb. There it is. Why do we need to tell the good news? Why do we need to preach? Because people are dying. People are dying. Every day. And we need to care for their souls. Because they matter. They matter to God. They matter to Jesus. They matter to the Holy Spirit. These are people that God created. These are people that God helped raise. God is the only one that knows everything they've gone on in the, that has gone on in their childhood, in their life, their struggles, their problems. In fact, even the ones they're dealing with right now, the reason why they're here at the church sometimes, God is the one that knows. He loves them, and he knows that they're dying. So we need to care in that sense for that. That if I don't speak to someone today, I want to go back to the lepers and think, this is not right. I'm enjoying the blessings of the Christian life. I'm enjoying the blessings that God has given me that I undeservedly deserve. Or that I do not deserve. There you go. Thank you. It's part of my English. That I do not deserve. And he has given it to me nonetheless. And he has blessed me beyond measure. It's not right for me to just be silent and not say anything. I need to tell. I need to tell. People are in a spiritual famine. They've been fed for a long time. They've been only been fed scraps. And they're satisfied with it because they don't know any better. And what I mean by that is the gospel has been diluted so much that I wonder if this is the same gospel that Jesus would have preached when he came to earth. Because he let them know how it is. He told them this is the right way to live and this is the wrong way to live. There is no middle ground on that aspect. And people think going back and forth, it's fine. And it's not. And people are dying. Our Savior cares for them. Our God cares for them. They need guidance. They need the guidance of the Lord. They need the guidance of the church. They need the guidance of the Word of God. Otherwise, they're going to be misled. Folks, what I'm trying to tell you is that in Matthew 5:13 and 14, the Bible tells us, and Jesus tells us, that we are the light of the world. It's not that we will be. We are. He has put his Holy Spirit inside of us when we were baptized in order for us to shine that light. In order for us so that people, when they see us, they can see Jesus in us. They can see God in us. And the way he loved, the way he talked, the way he treated people, that's what people will see. Because we are that light. Without that light, without your light, your neighborhood, some people might not ever find Jesus. We are that light. And people are going to meet their creator one day. That's why. That's why we need to preach. It is going to happen. We were talking with Duane. I was talking with Duane in the office. Was it Friday? And we were talking about the lightning. You know, what was going to happen when Jesus comes back again? Because, you know, I was taking a nap and the lightning woke me up. And I said, wow, why do you think it will happen, you know, when Jesus comes? Do you think everybody will hear it? And it's amazing because, yes, there will be a loud boom in the sky and time will be no more. That day will happen. It is going to happen. Are we prepared? If we are not, we need to be prepared. And number two, are we telling people? If we are not, we need to. And that's what I want to encourage you. That's what I want my invitation to be. My invitation, I want it to be that when you get out of here, you find somebody and you tell them the good news. I want my invitation to be that when you leave this building, you go meditating and you go thinking, you know what? I need to find somebody to tell them about this good news. I need to know, and others need to know. Jesus is coming back. Thank you all for being here this morning. And we're going to extend an invitation song, but if you need prayers, if you need to come forward, if you need us to help you, we are here for that.